Please turn your Bibles to Daniel and chapter 12. Daniel and chapter 12. And this evening we'll be considering together verses 5 through to 11. It's the very last portion of that chapter, and the last portion of the book. Daniel 12, let me pick up the reading from verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. We continue in our study of the book of Daniel. Several weeks ago, to be precise, on October 23rd, we began a consideration of the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. And this chapter is on the doctrine of the last things, or if you like, on what we technically refer to as eschatology. Before we go to the last things to finish off what we started, just a reminder to us that we have also dealt with the first things, as well as the middle things. And the summary of the message of those two periods is that Daniel was seeking to understand the state of his own people who started out in captivity in Babylon. After 70 years of being in captivity, they were released, and many of them went back to Jerusalem. And when they got there, momentarily they experienced freedom and everything was beautiful. But before long, they began to face challenges. They began to face opposition, and especially when they came under the reign of the Persians. And to understand this what it all meant, what God was seeking to achieve through it, God gave to Daniel a series of visions of what would be from his time in the 6th century BC to the end of the world. And a peep into those visions and their meanings was intended to give to Daniel an understanding, and therefore a way of explaining to his people who were going through those challenges, so they would be encouraged and comforted. Daniel reveals basically that the Israelites would face even more challenges in the near and distant future. And they would do so particularly under the rule of the Greek leader Antiochus Epiphanes. He was going to rule hundreds of years later, when the Greeks have begun to control the realms, and under his rule there would be persecution, severe persecution. That persecution would be ended by a defeat to the Romans, who would then begin to rule over the realms. And you will recall that it was during the rule of the Romans that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. But talking about the persecution under Antiochus, it also served as a type of the persecution that will happen at the end of the age, which is still future to us. A persecution similar to the persecution that happened under Antiochus will happen. Some people call it the Great Tribulation. Whatever you may want to call it, it will happen. And it will be brought to an end by an angel called Michael, by the general resurrection, and by the final judgment. In addition to this, there is a promise of glory to all the people of God, to wise believers in Christ, and a very special favor will also be given to soul winners. Now, in view of this prospect, this prospective revelation, as it were, there was a responsibility that devolved upon Daniel, expressed in verse 4. And the responsibility called him to shut up the words, number one, and to seal the book, number two. That is to say, he had a responsibility to preserve all that had been revealed to him through this vision. He had a duty to preserve that, to preserve it against changes, against additions, against subtractions. He also had the duty to seal the book. That means he must have the revelation inscripturated, put it in the form of a book. He must have all that he was hearing written down. In other words, he must have all that revelation copied, and not only that, circulated. One copy would have to be sealed, or if you like, certified or authenticated and placed in a library. Why? Why would he have to do that? Well, so that future generations like us can also have the opportunity to read the book of Daniel, to learn from the book of Daniel, to practice the principles enunciated in the book of Daniel. And generations future to us will continue to read the book. And as often as they read the book, they will learn that God is in control of history. He's in control of the kingdoms of men. They will come and they will go. The Assyrians came and they went. The Babylonians came on the scene. They also moved on. The Medo-Persians took their place. They also moved on. The Greeks came. And then the Romans came. And beyond the Romans, the kingdoms of this world have carried on. And God is in control. God is leading history to the ends that he has determined for it. And it is God himself who will determine when the end will be. And as the people read these things, they will be encouraged. They will be comforted. And even though they happen to be in a kind of wilderness situation in this world, they will have the ability to sing the Lord's song in the wilderness, in the strange land. That is how far we have come, even as we have sought to understand the message of this book. In this sermon, and it could very well be the last one, even though there is a possibility I could bring one more sermon, we want to turn our attention to what I am calling final eschatological questions. Final eschatological questions. And there are basically two questions we will look at. The one was posed by an angel, and the other was posed by Daniel himself. Let's begin with the question posed by an angel. The angel who had been revealing this revelation to Daniel, who had been revealing the end times to Daniel, is described as a man clothed in linen. We read about him in verse 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen. He is joined by two other heavenly visitors, two other angels. One stood on the near side bank of the river, and the other on the opposite bank. We read about them in verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. In between these two angels who were standing on the river banks was this man clothed in linen. So there was an angel on that bank, another angel on this bank, and in between, above the waters, stood this man. In reality, an angel clothed in linen. As Daniel watches the scene, he oversees, or rather overhears, one of the angels questioning the man clothed in linen. So one of the men, one of the angels who are standing on one of the banks, questioned the man clothed in linen. The man clothed in linen was, of course, a senior angel. He was senior in knowledge and senior in authority. And this is why he stands in the middle and above the waters, above the river Tigris. I want us to note two things about the question that was posed to him. First, the question centers on the revelation given in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. What was the revelation? It says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. The question related to this revelation. Secondly, the question was, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? You speak about trouble. You speak about deliverance for the people of God. When shall these things be? How long shall it be before they come about? That was the question. You read it in verse 6. How long will it take for these astonishing events of the tribulation that is to come upon the church and the general resurrection of the dead? How long will it be before they happen? That was the question. The man clothed in linen replies to that question. Notice in regard to that reply that he does it, first of all, by raising both hands toward heaven and swearing by him who lives forever. Normally, when you swear, like you swear in court, you raise one hand, not two, one hand, and then you take your oath. Well, this angel, who had a man-like form, raises both hands in taking his oath. It is as if he was indicating that what he was about to say, as is meant to be indicated when an oath is taken, that what I'm about to say is true. But here, there was an extraordinarily emphatic oath. It's like he was saying, what I'm about to say is doubly true. It cannot be doubted. It will happen. And then we also note that he swears by he who lives forever. Verse 7. I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. In other words, he who will be there when these future happenings, future events that have been predicted and delivered through these visions, he who will be there, Daniel himself won't be there when these things are being disclosed and unfolded, but he who lives forever, who will see when these things come about, who will in fact bring about these predictions, who will make them happen, this is the being, the God, if you like, before whom Daniel swears. And what exactly was the answer the man dressed in that cloth gave? Well, it simply was, these things will happen for a time, times, and half a time. Now, we've come across this manner of counting in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. We read about it. And it simply means 3.5 years. 3.5 years. It is variously referred to as 2,300 mornings and evenings, 1,290 days, except that here there is an extra month, or if you like, 30 days added, if you read verse 11 and 12, especially verse 12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. 3.5 years. Now, this period may have been derived from other periods of persecution. For example, the period of persecution in the days of Elijah, that lasted for about 3.5 years. The period of persecution under Antiochus, as far as Daniel was concerned, the days of Antiochus were still future. For us, they are behind us. But for Daniel, they were still future. And that period of persecution under Antiochus Epiphanes lasted for a similar length of time, about 3.5 years, a time times and half a time. So, if you like, this was an expression that was meant to refer to a short period of time. And here the point is that the length of the Antichrist war that will happen at the end of the age, toward the end of time, when the church will come under severe persecution, similar to the persecution that happened under Antiochus Epiphanes, the length of that time will be short and sharp, to be a period similar to 3.5 years. William Hendrickson refers to that period as Satan's little season. So during this gospel era, when the church is meant to grow, when the elect are meant to be called from every tongue, every nation, every clan, during this period, when the gospel will prosper, this little season of Satan will happen. The church, the people of God, will come under severe persecution. The fortunate thing about it is that it will be a short time. This enigmatic phrase also describes the persecution of believers throughout this age. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14, we read about the persecution that the church suffers between the first and second comings of Christ. This is a period of persecution. This is a wilderness. The time and half a time is also used to symbolize this period. Now, it's a very long period, isn't it? But that same symbolism is used. So it can be applied for a very short period, such as would happen at the end of this era, but it's also a period that can refer to this period between the first and second comings of Christ, in which the church suffers. The church is persecuted. It will be a terrible time. And the church will feel like they are about to expire. It will feel like this is now the end of the church. It's now the end of all that God has promised to his people. They will never really experience that. They'll never really know prosperity.
they will never really know the blessings of God as He promised. It will be the end. That is what many will feel. But just at the point when it seems like the devil is winning, the dragon and his helpers are winning, just when it feels like that, just when it's about to be perfect, perfectly executed, what will happen? God's enemy and his helpers will be destroyed. Christ will appear from the skies and he will unleash his power in that battle that is sometimes referred to as Armageddon, and he will destroy the devil and all his helpers and give victory to all his people. This is what he is describing here in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and saw by him who lives forever that it shall be for time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. The power of Satan and his helpers in the book of Revelation is symbolized by 666. They're about to get to 7, you see, the number of completeness and perfection, but they don't quite get there. Their efforts fall short because Christ appears and destroys them and gives victory to the people of God. Ultimately, it is the people of God who complete the task God gave them in the wilderness of this world, and it is they who will be rewarded and who will share the glory with God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, will be fulfilled. What does it say once again? At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And then we read this. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book of life, none will perish. They all shall be delivered. They all will be victors. Well, that's about the first question. Let's come in the second place and look at the question posed by Daniel himself. Daniel poses the question because he does not understand the answer supplied by the angel. He was listening in to this conversation between the angels, and the question was posed, an answer was given, and Daniel didn't quite get it. Didn't understand. He says in verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? It's a striking testimony of the inspiration of Scripture, isn't it? These revelations were being given to Daniel. But Daniel didn't understand them. He was the means of receiving the revelations, but he didn't understand these revelations completely, which indicates that these were not Daniel's words. They were God's words. Daniel was simply an instrument. So the question was, my Lord, what will the outcome of these things be? He sought to know how Satan's demise will take place, Satan's demise rather, will take place, and how the saints will be preserved, how they will be delivered. He sought to understand. Just a few comments on the answer that was supplied. First of all, the angel doesn't answer the question directly. As a matter of fact, the angel discourages too much curiosity about the future. And hence, his reply. What was his reply? We find it in verse 9. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Go your way. The words are closed up. They are sealed. In other words, the revelation is not for Daniel's time. It is for a distant time. A time in the future. For now, Daniel, you won't understand. These words are sealed in as far as you are concerned. They are not really meant for you. They are meant for a distant future. And then secondly, we also see that the angel does give a general description of what is ahead. When the end comes and the words need to be understood, the people who will face that trouble, the people who will live at that time, they will be given understanding. They will understand these words that you have seen in the vision. So the Bible will be understood then. The revelation will be understood then. And it will evoke and sustain the faith of the people who will live under that trouble. And this is how he responds. So you don't have to break your brains, crack your brains to try and understand these things, to try and work out the future and what exactly will happen. You don't have to do that. When the time comes, the people who will be in those circumstances will be given understanding. Look at verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So there will be both wicked and holy or wise people living at that time. The wise will understand. They will benefit from the revelation. And what will that benefit look like? They shall be purified. They will be made white. They will be refined. The persecution they will undergo will have its good effect on them. And the revelation will help them understand. But the wicked will not understand. So this revelation will play its part, its role, for the people for whom it was meant. There is something more. The angel has a word about the sharpness and the severity of those days. We've already been told that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. In verse 11, the angel says more. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. He's using the language of Antiochus's time, when during his persecution of the church, the temple will be desecrated. Instead of the worship of God in the temple of God, there shall be the worship of other gods. The worship will be done in the name of another god rather than the name of the God who set up the temple. Using that kind of language, a similar thing will happen at the end of the age, when the people of God will come under such severe persecution, and they will be expected to worship another God, a different God, other than the God of the Bible. And for refusing to worship such a God, many will seal their faith with their blood. But that tribulation will not go on for a long time. It will go on for 1,335 years, or rather 35 days, a little longer by 30 days. So the persecution will go on for 3.5 years, not quite 3.5 years, but for a little longer. And the people of God must remain patient. They will be expected to endure much, and they will be expected to remain patient. Daniel won't experience these things. They will happen long after he has gone, long after he has died, but they will happen. There is one more thing the angel communicates, and we won't have time to unpack this, so I'll just barely comment on it. The angel gives Daniel something of an individual eschatology. Now, he won't be there when all of these things he has described will happen. But for himself, he had a word to say. And it's found here in verse 13. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest. He is having trials himself at that point during the Persian rule. He is having difficulties himself, but he assures him, you shall rest. Not only that, you will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. He will know prosperity. He will rest. He may die, but he will rise. He will enjoy his inheritance at the end of the days. The same is true for us. We will have our rest. We may be going through trying times. Life may be hard going as a Christian now at this moment. But we will have our rest. We will rise to our inheritance at the end of the days. We will unpack that more carefully at another time. But let me conclude in this way. Facing the future, and I believe that's what we are learning from this portion of Scripture. facing the future should not lead us to idle speculation about the future. There are eschatologists and churches who hold to those eschatologies who spend time trying to understand the future. And in the past, they have made many predictions. They have issued many prophecies which have not come to pass, which proved to be false. We shouldn't spend our time in idle speculations about the future. Secondly, our response to the promise of Christ's return at the end of this present evil age is to be ready. He will come, we don't know when. He will come, we may not exactly explain how. He will come. Readiness does not consist in understanding precisely what will happen in that future event. Readiness consists in living according to what he has revealed, according to the precepts he has revealed. The revealed things are for us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. So we live out the revealed things. And God has revealed how he expects us to live, how that we must continue to walk worthily of the calling with which we were called. He has revealed our responsibilities as individuals, our responsibilities as leaders, leaders of nations, leaders of the church. He has revealed our responsibilities as members of the church, what we are expected to be, what we are expected to be doing. He has revealed how we should relate to the world. Those things are not unclear. We should be busy living out God's requirements of us. And we should be doing these things all the time. So it doesn't matter when Jesus chooses to come back. It doesn't matter when persecution sets in. It doesn't matter. It must find us ready. It should find you ready. And when you are concerned about pleasing the Lord, living out his requirements in your life, even when persecution comes, however it comes, whenever it comes, you'll be ready for it. When Jesus appears suddenly, he won't find you doing shameful things. You won't be ashamed to look into his eyes. You will be ready. Daniel has been given to us to contribute toward shaping that readiness. Daniel lived in a trying time, and he proved to be faithful to his God. We live in a similar time, and Daniel has given us a record of how to conduct ourselves during such a time. So even as you strive to be ready, strive to be faithful, don't forget about reading the book of Daniel. And when you read it, I trust that it will help you, help prepare you to stand firm, to dare to stand alone, even in a time of extreme persecution.
extreme temptation from the world. May the Lord so prepare us, so help us to be ready. For Jesus' sake. Amen.